And a very good morning to you. It's John Fradgley from the Bell Legal Group back with you for another program of The Law and You, and in fact, our last program for 2020. So if you have a question or a query of a legal nature and you want an answer before Christmas, give us a call. 55208888 is the number. That's 55208888. South the Tweed River, don't forget, 07 in front of the number. Or you can send us an email to talkback@4crb.com. And thank you to all those people who called in last week. Certainly an interesting program. And you may remember that Don called in relation to a body corporate insurance issue. And I undertook to give Don a response in relation to that. And Don, just to let you know that this is in Queensland is specifically covered under the Body Corporate and Community Management Act in the Standard Module Regulations, Section 184. And it provides that if there's an event affecting only one lot, then the owner of the lot is liable to pay the excess unless the body corporate decides it's unreasonable in all the circumstances for the owner to bear that liability. And interestingly, the example they gave was very close to Don's specific situation, because it provides that if a shower screen is damaged in a lot and an insurance claim is made under the body corporate's reinstatement insurance, the owner of the lot would be liable under subsection 3 to pay the excess unless the body corporate decided it was unreasonable for the owner to be required to pay it. So there we go. Alternatively, if there was a fire within a unit caused by a short circuit in electrical wiring located in an internal partition, then the body corporate might decide that that would be unreasonable for the owner to be required to pay the excess. And the same applies also for events affecting two or more lots, or a lot and the common property. So the body corporate basically has that discretion as to how the excess may be applied, whether it goes to one owner, two owners, or to or whether the body corporate would pay it. But enough of that. We've got our first caller on the line. As we say, a very good morning to Margaret. G'day, Margaret. How are you today?
I'm well, thank you, John. Yourself?
Very well indeed. Thanks. How can
thank
I help
you
today?
Call.
A pleasure.
John, my granddaughter manages a small shop that provides a service to the public. Yesterday, she was serving behind the counter, and a man came up and took her photo on his phone.
Hmm.
And my granddaughter said, please don't do that. And he said, my girlfriend doesn't like it either. She's vain like you. Anyway, he took the photo, and my granddaughter contacted the owners.
Hmm.
And the owners said that it was legal for him to do that.
I don't know that it is legal for him to do that, Margaret, without her consent. So I would be, how old is your granddaughter?
28.
Right, okay. So look, what I would be doing if I was her is I would be contacting the police in relation to it, and just telling them that this fellow took the photo without consent, and just see what they say in relation to it. Did she get the fellow's details at all, or does she know who he is? So
no,
she doesn't know who he is.
There was a queue a mile long, and he was just up the head of the queue.
Yes, anyway. Look, I'll have a bit of a look at it, and unfortunately I won't be able to comment on it next week because today, of course, as you know, is our last program for the year. So, but I just did have something in the back of my mind that that the law has been changed in that area in relation to privacy issues, because I know that, you know, in many instances, and it is a bit vague in some respects, because, for example, if you're out at a social function and, you know, someone from the Gold Coast Bulletin comes up and takes your photo and they'll take down your details, it's implied that you've given your consent for that photo to be published. And from memory, you know, they normally identify themselves and say, well, we're from the Bulletin and we're, you know, we're doing the social pages or whatever, and you give your name and so they can put it under the caption in, or as a caption in the photo. So But I just have something in the back of my mind. I certainly know it applies to children without any question at all. That's why I asked your granddaughter's age, that you can't take a photo of a minor. As I say, I've just got something that says that it's not... that it's not lawful to do so, but I will check on it, and I'll make a comment on it in the new year, or alternatively, I might see if I can get something through to 4CRB so they can put it on the local news.
Thank you for that, John. Look, you have a great Christmas, and thank you to 4CRB for all the great music and whatever they provide to old people like me.
No trouble at all, and I hope you keep enjoying that music for many, many years to come, Margaret.
I'll be happy if it's another couple.
All the very best. And the time on 4CRB is just coming up to 12 minutes past 9. That's 12 minutes past 10 on the Tweed. Very wet down around the Tweed at the present time. A number of people associated with 4CRB come from down in that part of the world, and I know there are concerns about the rising river levels. I think there was some localised flooding around Chindra yesterday, but that seems to have subsided, or it seemed to have subsided after the drop in the tide that occurred. I think the tide from memory was early in the morning yesterday, around about 7 or 8 o'clock. But by afternoon, it wasn't too bad. Certainly, as I crossed the Tweed River this morning, it's looking there's a lot of water coming down it, so it will be interesting to see what happens there. So if you are out on the roads, make sure that you stay very safe. If it's flooded, forget it. Make sure you don't drive through floodwaters. And just with the lead up to Christmas too, just a timely reminder that double demerit points will apply in New South Wales over the Christmas period. They normally publicise when they're going to apply. And a reminder also for those who are not aware of it, but public demerit points, or double demerit points, actually apply in Queensland all year round. They don't specifically apply over the Christmas period, but what they apply to are certain offences that are committed, a second offence committed within 1 year of the previous offence, and they include such things such as exceeding the speed limit by 20 kilometres an hour, use of a mobile phone, driving without a seatbelt on, and not wearing a motorcycle helmet. So just bear that in mind, that it's not just a Christmas holiday thing in Queensland. There's the potential for double demerit points at other times in the year. But enough of that. We've got another caller online. As we say, a very good morning to Jim. G'day, Jim. How are you today?
G'day. Good, thanks.
How can we help?
I just want to know how I go. I've got a lease on a place. It has a large tree hanging over it, which drops a lot of rubbish on the roof. I'm frightened it's going to drop a big branch down at some time, and I've tried the body corporate, and they say they got no money. Now, the owner that owns the place should be responsible too. Now, how do I go about getting it something done about it? I've noticed the body corporate have had some trees trimmed, and a lot of the people on the body corporate and owners have had the trees removed from their places.
Right, but not this one that's overhanging where you're staying.
Not this one, no.
Right. Well, look, Jim, if a tree is overhanging a boundary, then the owner or occupier of the property where it's overhanging is entitled to trim back the tree to the fence line. I fully understand that you may not be able to do that. And so, therefore, the only other ways to do it are to bring an application, or firstly to write to the owner of the adjoining property and ask them to cut the tree back because it represents a danger, and if they fail to do so, then to bring an application to QCAT. I think from memory it's under the Neighbourhood Dispute Resolution Act in Queensland.
That's not really the situation here.
No, the only other thing I could suggest you do, Jim, would be to write to the body corporate and tell them that you consider that the tree is a danger and that you're putting them on notice that if you're injured by that tree, that you'll be taking that if you or any person who comes to visit you is injured by that tree, you'll be taking action against the body corporate, so that they're aware that there's a potential risk. And I think I would also be telling them that they need to notify their public liability insurers that you've notified them of that risk, because if you do that, I think, because what that may potentially do is cause the public liability insurers to say to the body corporate that they must deal with the issue, and or the public liability insurer may refuse to cover any damage that is caused, any injury that is caused to someone as a result, which would leave the body corporate liable. So I think they're the ways that I would be suggesting that you could attack it. How close to the front street boundary are you on the property?
Well, this property is an ego cabin over on the island.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the only other thing I could suggest, which island are you on?
I'm talking about South Stradbroke.
South Straddy. So the only other thing I could suggest you do would be to speak to the local councillor for where you are, to see if there's any possibility that the council might issue a directive that the tree be trimmed for safety reasons.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I was thinking of that. And they keep coming back when we say, oh, we've got good insurance, we've got good insurance. But that don't cover a person's lifelong possession or injury to a person that's most probably killed or permanently injured.
No, that's right. So you've got to have contents insurance for your own goods. And don't forget that you should also have public liability insurance for the interior of that property as well.
Yeah, no, not into that. I'm an age pensioner.
Yes. Anyway, just letting you know. All right, then.
Okay.
Chris, the only other thing I could suggest, do you get over to the mainland much?
Oh, occasionally, yeah.
Okay, because the only other thing I could suggest you do would be to go and see the Gold Coast Community Legal Centre and Advice Bureau, who are in Railway Street at Southport, and have a chat to them in relation to it. Do you want me to give you their number?
I'll check up. I'll get that off the internet. All right. I'll check up with the council, and I'm serious thinking I'll offer to pay for the tree.
Hmm. Yes, well, as I say, it's not your responsibility. It's the owner of the property who should be doing it. So that's where I would be going. It may be, in fact, that you could take action against the owner under the residential tenancy legislation. You could issue a notice to the owner that you require the tree to be trimmed back as a tenant. The only danger you have there, of course, is the owner might then turn around and say, when your tenancy is at an end, well, sorry, Jim, but I'm not going to renew it.
Yeah, that's what I'm worried about.
Yes. All right, then.
Okay, thanks.
And time continues to march along. It's just come up to 19 minutes past 9, past 10, south of the border. As we say, a very good morning to Chris. G'day, Chris. How are you today?
Yes, hello, John. Good morning. I'm sorry, a bit croaky there, but I'm fine otherwise. Thanks.
Good on you. How can we help?
John, look, I'm a local author. I produce books about the nature of the Gold Coast.
Right.
And I sometimes seek information from the Gold Coast City Council website, and I've always been of the understanding that the information was in the public domain and available under the Creative Commons attribution.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know if this is the general rule in that instance? Or
no, look, I honestly don't, Chris. Obviously, issues about copyright and attribution are not things that I deal with on a day-to-day basis. I would think that if it's on, when you say they're things about nature, what are you talking about? Are you talking about writing about trees and insects,
parks,
and animals, and
beaches, the conservation parks, birds, animals, you know, the whole
So are you reproducing deal? Are you reproducing what the council have on their website, or are you basically writing, using their material to rewrite something?
Yes, mainly the text, John, from the websites. For example, history of suburbs, there may be a few historical pictures which have that are 50 years old where the photographer is unknown and this sort of thing. And, you know, you can speak to many people at the council and they're all a bit vague and they're not sure who looks after this area. And it's hard to get a definitive answer.
Right, okay. Well, I suppose, you know, if you do simply provide an appropriate attribution in your book to say, you know, that this came from the Gold Coast City Council's website or something of that nature, you're at least providing attribution in relation to it. Which part of the Gold Coast do you live, Chris?
I'm in the northern end, John.
Right, because the only other thing I could suggest, but it's probably a little bit outside of their area, would be to speak to one of the lawyers at the Gold Coast Community Legal Centre, only because they would be able to look up or look into it and provide an answer to you in relation to it rather than here on the radio. Obviously, I can't just simply do some research and provide an answer on the spot unless it's something that's immediately within my knowledge, and it's certainly not something that I look at on a day-to-day basis. So that would be one alternative. The only other alternative I could suggest, Chris, would be if you just give my office a call and leave your number with the receptionist and just tell her that you spoke to me this morning, I'll have a look at it and I can give you a call back off air because this is obviously the last program for the year. I could give you a call back and just give you a bit of advice in that area.
Oh, that'd be wonderful.
After doing the appropriate research.
Hmm. Thank you very much. I look forward to that.
Yes, all right. So have you got our number, the office number?
No, I haven't.
Okay. Have you got a pen handy?
Yes, I have.
Okay. So 5597.
Yeah.
3366.
3366.
Yeah. So if you just ring them and tell them you were speaking to me on the radio this morning and just tell them that I asked that you leave your number with reception. And
they'll
pass that through to me and I'll certainly have a look at it for you.
Much appreciated. Thank you.
All right.
Merry Christmas, John.
And to you too. This is The Law on You. The telephone number 5520888. That's 5520888. We've only got about 8 minutes left of airtime, which means you only have 8 minutes to get a question answered for this year. 5520888. We'll be back after this word from our sponsor.
Are damaged or collapsed rollers making your sliding glass or security door difficult or dangerous to use? Worn rollers can permanently damage the track. If you would like your doors sliding properly and safely again, call our station sponsor Easy Slide on 5522 8373. Easy Slide cover the Tweed and Gold Coasts, and if they can't fix your sliding door, they're visitors free, guaranteed. Call Easy Slide, that's EZI Slide, on 5522 8373.
And this is The Law on You on 4CRB. 5520888 is our number if you have a question or a query, and we've only got a few minutes left for the programs for 2020. One thing that I had been trying to talk about for a few weeks, and we've just had programs that have been a little bit too busy to get to, is a lot of the news in recent times surrounding issues of employment and talking about the level of unemployment at the present time, and particularly saying that the numbers are skewed because of people who are in part-time or casual employment and only employed part-time and classified as jobs. And certainly anecdotally, one thing that has struck me for a long time, and I think it's probably the elephant in the room as far as politicians are concerned, is that I have not been able but to notice that employers have become far less inclined to employ people on a permanent basis since the unfair dismissal laws came in Australia. And even governments now employ people on contract because they want to, in many cases, because they want to avoid the issues of the unfair dismissal laws. But it's interesting to note that a permanent employee can simply leave the employment of an employer without any redress at all, and they may be someone who's vital to the operation of that business, but the employer certainly is very reluctant to employ on a permanent basis because of the difficulty of going through that unfair dismissal process. So just a bit of food for thought for the new year. But enough of that. We've got a couple of callers online. We'll say good morning to Marie. Hello, Marie. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
That's good. How can we help?
I'm having a few issues with our body corp.
Mm-hmm.
And like one of them says, an owner or occupier may have a pet with mm-hmm. the written approval. They're saying nobody in the whole complex is allowed pets.
Well, that's just not right. A bylaw that prohibits pets, there's been a number of decisions. Are you in Queensland?
No, yes, I am.
Yep. There's been a number of decisions through the various tribunals in Queensland that have found that bylaws that prohibit keeping of pets are unenforceable.
And this is what I've told them.
Mm.
I've shown them Article 94 of the Act that says they have to act reasonably. Mm. They've now decided that no matter what anybody asks, they have to take it to the tribunal rather than the committee making the decision.
Mm.
I pointed out that they were lacking in duty of care.
Mm.
And one of the committee members said, well, that's not enforceable. I'm just curious, is duty of care enforceable by law?
Well, I don't know whether they're lacking in duty of care. I think what might be more the case is that they're, you know, they're acting unreasonably in simply saying a blanket no, and anyone who wants to have a pet will be forced to take it to the tribunal. I mean, I suppose the easier, you know, you have two alternatives, don't you? You can simply ignore what they say and keep a pet anyway and make them take it to the tribunal, or you can take it to the tribunal and see what, and you know, but then you've got to wait for the outcome. But I just wonder whether, you know, the former maybe the better alternative, well, that you simply get your pet and say, well, you know, you take me.
We've had the pet for years.
Mm.
And
well, if you've got the pet and they're saying the pet's got to go, I think I'd just tell them, well, the pet's not going. You take me to the tribunal.
Okay.
Mm.
That's all I needed to hear. Thank you very, very much. You've been very helpful.
Okay, Marie. Yeah. All the very best. Time on 4CRB has just come up to 28 minutes past nine as we say good morning to Andrew. G'day, Andrew. How are you?
Oh, it's Andrew. Yeah.
Yes. Yes, how are you, Andrew? How can I help?
Yeah, good. Yeah, good. Good, John. Yeah, just got an issue. You know, there was water leak, you know, like a massive scale, you know, and mm-hmm. then... apparently, they fixed the leak,
mm-hmm.
and then the city council sent a bill like 10 times more than normal, right, you know?
Is this a water leak, was it? Did you have a leak in your pipe?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, was, and it was on your side of the meter?
No, that was inside. It's a complex of 15 units, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And... yeah, and the body cop seems to be paid the bill for the repair. But, you know, to me, you know, they should pay the bill as well, you know, for the water.
The excess water. Indirectly, all the owners pay it anyway. So, I mean, whether the body corporate pays it or you or all the owners pay it, it's the same thing.
But you know, what the city council, because I did talk to them, I said, hell, we're not going to pay, you know, such excesses. And then they say, you know, if you pay, you may get a 50% discount.
Yeah, eventually. Well, you can apply for a rebate in relation to excess water charges if you can get a report from a plumber which says that it was not reasonable for the body corporate to have picked up the fact that there was a water leak. I think it's something to that effect. So there is a process, and I would recommend that you tell the body corporate to follow that process, Andrew.
So the body cop should cop the bill as well.
So does the water go onto your individual rate notices? Is that
No. That's a divided amongst the 15 owners.
So does the water bill issue to the body corporate, does it?
No, they issued direct to the owner.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah, so yeah. What you need is for the body corporate on behalf of all of the owners to apply to the council with a report from a plumber saying that that it wasn't reasonable to have picked up this problem, and the council will rebate a certain amount. I think it is up to 50%, but I'm not 100% sure. You'd need to speak to the council about that. But unfortunately, Andrew, we'll need to leave it there. We're pressing right onto the local news. So all the very best with that, and all the very best for Christmas. David is still online. David, if you can just wait there, I'll take that call offline after the program. I'm John Fradgley from the Bell Legal Group. It's been great to be with you this morning for this last program of The Law and You for 2020. I look forward to being back with you early in 2021. But until then, it's goodbye and God bless.